especially now, just before Christmas. I like to read the story of a young girl in the Bible who had a lot of reasons to be a Grinch at Christmas. She is a member of the poorest class of her people, having no political power or rights. She is young and female in a culture that treats its women as little more than property. She is an unwed mother, which is often an automatic death sentence in her community. Her fiancé is seriously considering calling off the marriage, which could mean she would never find a husband who would have her. Christmas is coming. In fact, the very first Christmas. And in spite of all, she can be worried about and sad about, the Bible tells us that she is so happy that she is singing a song. Who is this glad girl, and why is she singing? Well, this is Mary, and she sang because God had made her heart happy. She sang because she knew she had a special part to play in God's plan. She sang because God was turning her world upside down. And she sang because God always keeps his promises. Today I'll be using two different paraphrases of the Magnificat. Paraphrases are not literal interpretations of the Bible, but the way someone tried to put the ideas of the Bible into contemporary words that may be easier to understand. I'll be using the Laughing Bird paraphrase from Langdon Nettleton in Australia, with some notes from E.G.H. Peterson's The Message. I'll start with the Nettleton version, this is fun. When the angel told Mary that both she and her relative Elizabeth were going to have babies, Mary took the first opportunity to make a trip to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth lived with her husband Zechariah in a Judean town in the hills. Mary sang out as soon as she arrived at their house, and when she heard the greeting, Elizabeth felt the baby jump in her womb. The Holy Spirit welled up in Elizabeth, and she cried out with joy, singing, "You have been blessed like no other woman, and doubly blessed is the child of your womb. And what about me? Why am I so blessed that my Lord's own mother should come knocking at my door? The moment your greeting reached my ear, the baby in my womb began bouncing with glee. Clearly, you are God's favored one, because you believed what God said to you, trusting God to follow through on every promise." The Message reads very similarly, but I particularly like the line, this line, "The moment the sound of your greeting entered my ears, the baby in my womb skipped like a lamb for sheer joy." What an awesome experience that must have been for Elizabeth, to have that baby leap for joy inside of her. How that happened is not for us to speculate. I would just say that it was a work of God. But when you read our text today, you get a feeling that Elizabeth was excited and filled with joy at what God was doing among them. Elizabeth already understood what happened to Mary before Mary had said anything to her. She knew that God favored Mary because of inner beauty, of Mary's faith, and obedience. Elizabeth declares that Mary is blessed, not because she is somehow more spiritual, righteous, or even sinless, but because she takes God at his word. Continuing with the Nettleton version, Mary too was bursting with joy. She said, "Let me turn the spotlight on God's greatness. With all that I am, I dance with joy over God my Savior. God has smiled upon me, though I was no one special, and now I'll be remembered as the favored one forever. The Supreme God has done wonderful things for me. No other name is in the same league as God's." I like the way Eugene Peterson translates this line of the Message. "I am dancing the song of my Savior God." For that is exactly the spirit of Mary's song. Mary knew that it was God who deserved the praise, and praise erupted from her innermost being like an overflowing fountain. So from the depths of her being, she gives expression to her amazement, her adoration, her worship, and love of God, that he has singled out a lowly maiden to accomplish his mighty purposes. God favored and exalted Mary, but Mary also exalted God. Mary could sing and praise God because she had faith. She already saw a vision of the future, of the changed society God was to bring in where all wrong injustice will be corrected, where the oppressed and the downtrodden will be lifted up, and those who have elevated themselves and exalted themselves will be humbled. Here's what she sings. In every generation, those who treat God with respect are rewarded with showers of mercy. With sleeves rolled up, God has made a show of strength and sent happy those who are so full of themselves. God has kicked the power mongers out of office and lifted the downtrodden back to their feet. God has put on a feast for those who are hungry and slammed the door on the rich without giving them a bite. The Message puts it this way. His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. He bared his arm and showed his strength, scattering the fluffing braggarts. He knocked pirates off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet. The callous rich were left out in the cold. This is how God will turn the world upside down. But remember, Jesus came for everyone, regardless of their status in the world. The humble are valued by God, and even the arrogant can humble themselves and become right with God. The oppressed find mercy and help. The oppressors can stop their oppression and find grace. Those who are weak can be strong in God. The strong can admit their weakness apart from God and find true strength. But we have to come to God on His terms rather than ours. We humble ourselves. We admit our weakness. We turn from our sin. And we turn to God for His strength, His wealth, and His boldness. This was Mary's story and can also be ours. Faith grows out of true worship and adoration of God. Worship takes the attention off us and focuses it on God, on His might, on His power, on His mercy and grace. Worship is the perfect environment for strengthening and deepening our faith, because it keeps our vision focused on the word and promises of God and not on the surrounding and prevailing circumstances. Then Mary sings God's promises to Abraham and Israel. The Lord's servant Israel receives a helping hand. God always remembers them with tender care. This is exactly what God promised long ago, a vow made to Abraham and Sarah for every generation. And from the Message, He embraced His chosen child, Israel. He remembered and piled on the mercies, piled them high. It's exactly what He promised, beginning with Abraham, right up to now. Mary put her hope in the promises of God. She undoubtedly knew Scripture. She had heard stories passed down through the family about a God who had promised a Savior, a Messiah. She knew that God was faithful. Notice what she says in verse 55. He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed, forever. Mary knew the promise that had been passed down from generation to generation, that one would be born of the seed of Abraham, who would save people from their sins. She realized that she had been chosen, of all the women who have ever lived, to be the mother of that child. God has bound Himself to us in loving faithfulness. Not only are we bound to God, but He is bound to us. He has made promises to us and committed Himself to us with words of love. Let us join Mary today in rejoicing at the coming of Christ our Savior. Let us spend time meditating on the words of Mary as we think about the impact of Jesus' coming on us and on our time. Let us think about what God has done by this act of sending His own Son to live among us as one of us. May our hearts leap for joy because with God, all things are possible. May our hearts leap for joy because the gift of the baby born in the manger. May we leap for joy because our Savior comes. My soul praises God, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.